Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, howdy, everybody. On this Wednesday morning, I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 19th, 2012, episode 555. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. Six more sleeps till Christmas. I'm excited.
Are you
and
excited?
I'm going to tell you why. I'm excited. Six more sleeps till Christmas, and I'll tell you why I'm excited. Because we were gone the past couple days, and we have a gate at the front of our farm, and it seems like UPS, all you have to do is push the gate open. It's not locked or anything. But what they seem to do is just dump packages on the other side of the gate. They never actually bring them to the house. They just leave them right at the gate. And I was coming in yesterday from getting back from Sedona, Arizona with the husband, and I saw the boxes, and one had Bit of Britain on it, and one had Equestrian Collections on it. I was like, woohoo! Dad's like, don't look at those. Don't read the labels.
He obviously listens to the shows, huh? He knows where to shop.
I have him trained. Well, he knows Bit of Britain is like the eventer's, you know, world for anything eventing. You go to Bit of Britain, they have the most random stuff that only an eventer would know what it is. And he's learning what these things are. I do helpfully leave catalogs around with circles around stuff, but just that's my thing.
Well, that's good. You know, this is the last Christmas that you're going to have without screaming.
How dare you? This is awful.
Hey, I have to clarify something before we go on with the show real quick. We had a couple of listeners contact me here by text and said, because of what I posted on our promo for the show this morning on Facebook, and I have to clarify it because they're panicking. I posted today live on Horse in the Morning. We talk about crazy racehorse names and equine charity giving. Plus, we are winding down, and who knows what mood Jamie and Glenn will be in. Apparently, they took that to mean that we're winding down and we're ending the show. That's not what I meant. I meant we're winding down. We only have a couple more shows before we're on holiday vacation. That's what I meant. The show's not going away. I just wanted to clarify
that. Seriously, though, are you firing me? Is that what you're doing? Is this over?
Next week's vacation, and I'm really looking forward to it. We've been working our butts off to get all the shows ready for the next week or two, and we're looking forward to having a little staycation here in Florida. So that's what I meant. I meant we're getting goofy is what I meant.
All right, just checking.
You're not going anywhere. Although the more pregnant you get, the more breaks we're going to have to keep taking in this show. So who knows?
I tell you, by the time June rolls around, we're going to be all music, no talk. All right, you guys, 47 minutes of music in a row. Here we go, top of the hour. It's 42 degrees. Have a great day.
Jamie, has to pee again. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on with things. Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Crappy-less Wednesday edition, an interesting list of insulting, incipient, incredible, ironic, and racehorse names. perfect holiday fare, I'm sure. And to pump up the decidedly lowbrow tone of the show up until this point, TheHorse.com is here with Tom Lind, who led one of the most popular table topics at the recent AAEP conference in Vegas. So I guess what happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas.
You know, it isn't only pee breaks either. If you take into account your dog barking breaks, your horses escaping breaks, the people knocking on your door breaks, we really aren't going to have a show if we take all that into account. Chicken break.
Listen, I don't let the chickens out until after the show, so at least that's one. You know what else we forgot is that it is 7:05 in the morning my time. I've already had a V8, and I'm still hungry. So I need food breaks, too.
Well, my Daily Weenie is a little bit different this morning. It's kind of pseudo-celebrity related. Jennifer and I watched the show Ice Road Truckers when it first started. We don't watch it anymore. But we watched, two or three seasons, Jennifer, when it first began. Mm-hmm. And we kind of liked the personalities there. Now, after about three seasons of watching trucks drive on the ice, it got kind of boring. But there were two characters that we really liked. There was an old guy that was that was pretty cool. And you got to understand, this is Ice Road Truckers. They're driving trucks on the ice in Alaska. It's pretty remote, pretty barren, and you got these big, tough, burly guys and one girl. And the girl's name was Lisa Marie, and she was one tough chick. And I should have known about the tough chick trucker girl on Ice Road Truckers would also be a horse person. But I didn't know that until the other day when we got to be friends on Facebook, and she posted on my Facebook page this morning that it was nice to put a face with a name. She listens to our shows.
No way.
Yeah, and she said this is what she posted. She said Lisa Marie probably more a horse girl than a truck girl. Trucking is how I support my horse habit. Does that sound familiar? Granted that there isn't much in Alaska for horses, and I'm not good at anything, but I'm giving it a go. Carriage marathon racing is my newest interest. So there you go. We have a reality show celebrity that listens to the shows here. So I'm giving my Daily Winnie to Lisa Marie Kelly up there in Alaska.
This is awesome. Maybe, just like the former American Idol contestant, you can book her on the show, and then like Snoop Dogg, she won't show up.
Jennifer rebooked her, you'll be happy to know. She's rebooked for January, right?
Yes.
Yes. So the American Idol contestant that didn't show up the last time has another chance not to show up in January.
She's got one more chance. Two strikes. You're out.
Jamie has a limit. That's it. You know, you get up twice, you're gone. Now, did you used to do that with guys, too, or were they gone if they stood you up once?
Oh, honey, nobody ever stood me up. Come on.
How did I know that was going to be your answer?
I mean, seriously, really? Please. No, I did have the rule that if we broke up, we were done. Like, there's no getting back together with somebody you broke up with, because clearly you broke up with them for a reason, and you're just going to rehash that reason all over again when you get back together. So, yes, it was one and done for a dating relationship. And I told them that, too. I was like, you break up with me, we're done. And so relationships went on much longer than they should have.
Should have, yeah, exactly.
All right, well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Cassidy Pope. She is the winner of The Voice, and she beat out all the boys last night to win The Voice. She was on Blake's team, so Team Blake wins The Voice 2 years in a row. I'm really excited because next year Christina Aguilera is not going to be on the show. She's taking a little hiatus, sadly, so is CeeLo Green, but there's going to be a different kind of take. Usher is taking over for CeeLo Green, and Shakira is taking over for Christina Aguilera, and I'm hoping that Shakira won't use the word I so much. I'm just going to vent on The Voice right now because I am this awesome, and I would sing the song like this. Oh, that's what she does all the time. She just talks about herself. It's amazing. Anyway, I digress. So Cassidy Pope, winner of The Voice. It was a really, really beautiful episode last night, and I must say that the night before last was actually fantastic, too. And what happened was all the coaches, which is Christina, CeeLo, Adam Levine from Maroon 5 and Blake Shelton, all of them and all 20 contestants got up on stage and sang the song Hallelujah, and every one of them held up a sign with the name of one of the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown. So just, I was hoping, Glenn, if you don't mind, just let's play this because it's just really beautiful and it's really touching, and then we can move on. But I was really proud of The Voice for honoring it in this way.
Very good. Here we go.
Man, just listening back to that just gets me emotional. Even if you haven't heard that before, you didn't see the show, it just, that was just really intense.
And can I say, too, that I think you should go back and watch the video, just Google it online and find it, because the video with them holding up the cards that have the names and ages of the victims on them, each one of them had a card, it really made it poignant. And that's a haunting song anyway.
It really is.
Yeah, anybody, you know, we've heard that song in many, many versions, and it's haunting whenever you hear it. So, well, very good. Now, you went away for a couple of days, didn't you?
I did. I went to the land of crystal worshiping, vortex sitting, hiking through, I don't know, marijuana smoke. It was really exciting.
You went to Burning Man up in Nevada?
We went to one of our favorite places to go. It's so absolutely beautiful, and it's only 2 hours from here, and it's called Sedona, Arizona. And for those who don't know, go Google Sedona. Google image it right now, and you'll be like, oh, okay, I get it. So I went to Sedona with Chad. His brother's in town. They live in L.A., and they had a week hotel kind of a condo up there. So they invited us up, so we stayed for a couple of days, and it was a – just to let you know, in the world of the vortexes and all these holistic healing places and all this, like, foofy, like, really emotional, spiritual kind of place, we have a fighter pilot and an FBI agent. So there was no, like, Chad and his brother, fighter pilot, FBI agent. There's no drugs, no, there's nothing emotional at all, actually, going on. When you hike with those guys.
Look at the pretty rocks.
Yeah. You're like, wow, that's great. Let's keep going. Faster, guys. Faster. Let's jog. Pick it up. Let's go. And I'm like, oh, my God. You guys are killing me.
Wait a minute. I got a serious question for you. You hiked for five. How the heck did you hike in your current state and with your current needs for 5 miles without having to go to the bathroom?
No. There was definitely lots of pee breaks on the trail. Let me tell you that right now. I actually was smart enough to bring lots of toilet paper in my jacket. It was really cold, too, so I was wearing long johns. Let me tell you how irritated I was. I am freezing cold. It is like 42 degrees outside. I have long johns on. I have a snow jacket on, and I am hiking 5 miles uphill both ways. It was ridiculous, and I had to pee like every couple minutes. And not to mention the fact, can I also mention that I was hiking with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old? That's fun.
They were trying to get you to
practice. Wait.
Yeah.
How does a 2-year-old hike? A 2-year-old doesn't hike. A 2-year-old gets carried around the countryside.
You would think, but they brought the little trail stroller, and they're like, oh, let's go, kids. And she actually hiked most of it because she didn't want to ride in the stroller, and her mother would not carry her. Where was her dad? Where was her dad and my husband? Well, let's just see. I'm with my sister-in-law, and we are hiking with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old because the FBI agent and the fighter pilot have decided to go scale the rock face and have left us. They left us. And they went running up some hill. They're like, we'll catch up with you. An hour later, they show up. They have gone to the top of some red rock formation. They're all excited. I have to pee, and I'm about to kill somebody. And I'm freezing to death.
You know, that did you have a premonition of things to come? Of you being left behind with the kid as Chad is off doing other things? Did you have a premonition?
Oh, that will not happen, ever, if they're my children. I'll tell you that right now. But I did have one of those moments, Glenn. And I'm gonna, you know, you guys, I'm really honest with you. This whole thing, I did have one of those moments where I was like, oh my God, they never go away. They're here all the time. Like, we finally get done with this 5-mile hike. I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, oh, thank God, I'm done. And it's like, I want that. Give it to me. It's all the time, nonstop.
There's no putting them in the stall and closing the door, Jamie.
No.
You can't put them in a crate or a cage. You just can't. You can't do that. You can't leave them outside. Go outside and play. Go. They're there all the time, and then they're hungry all the time as well, much like me. So, yeah, good times. Good times.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Whose idea was that? It was certainly probably was not yours, was it?
No, I can't say it was mine, but let me just tell you that he did make it up to me because at our little condo thing, there was an outdoor hot tub, which seems like it would be too cold. And I know pregnant women are not supposed to sit in the hot tub for a long time, but I'm my sister-in-law's a doctor, and she said that I could stay in there for a certain amount of time. And I'm sitting in this hot tub, and the best, most entire part of the whole 3 days was getting a foot rub in the hot tub after a 5-mile hike sitting outside. I was like, okay, it's all better.
It's all better
now.
You're forgiven.
So there you go. That was my couple days.
Good. Well, it sounds like you had fun. Well, you know, somebody else that's having a good time in his retirement is a little Shetland pony over there in England, who was been used for pulling carriages and sleds for the past 20 years. His name is Toby. He's 28 years old now, and he's officially been retired. Well, why this made news all the way over in England is that apparently Toby has a little drinking problem. He likes beer a lot. And one of apparently his usual habits was they would stop by the pubs on their way back from working, and, you know, he would have a drink or two. Well, Toby is this little miniature horse, and to celebrate, Mr. Putt, who is the person that was Toby's master, decided to take him on a pub crawl. So Toby went on a pub crawl for his retirement party, and apparently they hit almost every pub in town, and you can see pictures of retired 28-year-old Shetland pony, Toby, in the pub up at the bar. And apparently what happens is Mr. Putt takes and gets a plastic glass and fills it with ale, and then Toby just slurps it down. So the drunk little Toby made his way back to retirement.
That is nice, but I would like to point out that, yes, maybe Toby the pony may have one or two beers, but by the looks of the owner of Toby, that guy has been drinking heavily for years.
Well, it did say that his wife died from multiple sclerosis at the age of 45. So my guess is he got lonely And he found Toby, a drinking partner, and he's been doing this little gig for a lot of years. Now, it does say, and I love this last sentence in the article. This was in the Daily Mail. It says, it is disputed amongst horse owners whether beer is suitable for animals to consume. Some myths and traditions suggest that ale has been safely mixed with horse feed for decades. But others suggest that alcoholic content is not suitable for a horse's digestive system. We're going to have to ask Dr. Jones someday.
Well, I'll tell you, you can ask Zenyatta because she had a Guinness every day and she did fine.
Yeah, sure.
She was doing fine. Well, hey.
Happy retirement to Toby.
Yes, congratulations, Toby. Enjoy your pint. Hey, I got a rescue story for you, Glenn. And this is actually kind of not too far from you, I guess. Wellington, Florida, actually. There was a nice lady who had a couple horses, and I think she had let one of them in her backyard to graze. The horse is 30 years old, so, you know, he's really no threat to run away or anything like that. But he decides to walk on over, and I don't know how this happened. I don't know if he was going to drink. I don't know what he was going to do, but he fell into her pool. Now, there's no waiting stairs, like stairs to get in or out of the pool, and it's not very deep. It's about probably 3 feet deep, but this poor, blessed 30-year-old horse could not get out. Just had no way to, you know, lift itself up like that. So firefighters were called, and a crane and a sling were used to lift the horse out of the pool. And my question is, this is a murky, very large water hazard. And I don't understand how you can get a 30-year-old horse to go into a pool, yet I can't get an 8-year-old thoroughbred to cross a puddle. I don't get it.
There's an inverse relationship there.
I guess so. I mean, my God. You can get your horse into a pool. If I left my horse out in the backyard where our pool is, there was no chance of any of them going close to it because they're like, oh, my God, water jump. Ah, I don't know.
Okay. Doesn't anybody put a fence around their pool anymore?
Yeah, I guess these people don't. And that's one new investment with a kid we're going to have to do. So that's awesome. $3,000.
How many pools, horses and pools did we have this year? There, I mean, if we went back and counted, there was probably 100 horses and pools this year. It's amazing the number of horses. But Wellington,
Yeah, I know, Wellington, we should post a link because the photos are fantastic. It was apparently happened at midnight, and just as the sun is coming up when they finally got the horse out of the pool. So imagine having to sit out there with your horse all night long while standing in a pool. Hey, buddy.
Well, at least it's in Florida, not, you know, Oklahoma or North Dakota where it's freezing.
Oh, good point. Good point. Very good point.
Hey, did you... Zenyatta's half-sister. How do you say that name? I cannot say that
name. Ablouissante.
Apparently, was scratched from an allowance race on December 15th at Betfair Hollywood Park after banging herself in the receiving barn. Now, apparently she avoided serious injury, but she was hurt enough that trainer John Sheriff scratched her from the race. So she's a little clutzy yet at her young age.
Well, I'm sure, but she's so huge. But so I guess what happened was they go into the receiving stall, the barn, and that's where they go to get inspected before they go to the track. So they go into these stalls, they put them in there, and then they have to march them out kind of in post position order, like one slot, two slot, three slot. And of course, they get pretty excited as every horse in front of them starts to leave. They're like, oh, my God, don't leave without me. And I guess she just kind of overexcitedly came out the door and hit her hip on the edge of the door. I think she lost some hair, but it wasn't cut. It didn't need stitches or anything like that. But from what I gather, she went off limping considerably. Like she hit her hip. You know, like you stub your toe, you're like, ow, 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 and you lift your toe for a couple steps. That's kind of what she did. But for just a couple minutes, she was just not comfortable on it, so they just scratched her. Boom, scratch her. Of course, they're never going to chance Zenyatta's sister for anything. Right. I mean, she looked cross-eyed for a minute. They're like, we had a scratcher. I mean, and I can't blame them. Why would you blame them for that? They can't. So I think they did it. They did the best they could do.
Now, they're gearing her up for the Kentucky Derby run, I assume?
Well, she's already 3 years old, so she will not be a Derby winner, a Derby runner. I'm sure she's just going to run over at Hollywood Park or Santa Anita probably next for the next couple months, not travel to the East Coast. They tend to not run these girls until they're at least 3 years old. Remember, Zenyatta didn't start till the fall of her 3-year-old year, and 3-year-old babies, 2-year-old, so you have to qualify for the Derby as a 2-year-old.
Ah, okay, got it. Now, yeah. What about you have an you have a picture in here, and I have not read the article yet of an infamous statue that anybody that's been to Kentucky Horse Park has gotten their picture taken in front of. Tell us about that.
Without a doubt, sadly, you know, Bruce Davidson had a partner named Eagle Lion, and he was a thoroughbred / Irish sport horse, and he was ridden by Bruce Davidson in his entire career. He won badminton in 1995, the first American to ever win badminton. He had top five finishes at Burley and badminton in 94 and 98. He won Fairhill, the 3-star, in 1992. This was a monster competitor. I remember watching this horse run around at Rolex when I was so little. Four badmintons, double clear every single time on cross country. Placed in the top 10 or top 15 in 10 3- or 4-star events in all. Well, sadly, Eagle Lion has passed away. He was 27 years old. He was owned by Dr. George Strawbridge and just lost him day before yesterday, I believe, to just infirmities of old age. But 27 years old, that horse had quite the career and quite the life. And he is memorialized even before his death, obviously, at the Kentucky Horse Park in that fantastic statue just outside, if you go to Rolex, the show jump arena of Bruce Davidson kind of landing down. It looks like a drop fence, and he's got his arm in the air with the whip up, and that is Eagle Lion. So very sad, hope he's galloping around comfortably in pastures somewhere.
I was kind of surprised when you just said that, because I didn't know he was still alive. I didn't realize he was still alive. Yeah, what a horse. Amazing horse.
Living a good life.
Something else I didn't realize is that it is legal to keep horses in Philadelphia. Horse owners in Philadelphia will be subject to a new inner-city horse-keeping regulation if a bill introduced to city council in December becomes law. Apparently, the sponsor of the bill proposed an ordinance that would regulate various aspects of horse keeping, including the amount of space required to keep a horse in the city. And the ordinance would also require that horses kept in the city receive regular exercise, or you'll get a fine. Most towns, you can't have a chicken. I mean, you can't have a pig, you can't have a cow, you can't have horses. I mean, the tiniest little towns. Philadelphia allows you to do that? I didn't realize that. That's news on me.
Yeah, you know, it's sad that you have to make regulations for horses living in inner city areas. I mean, just would not think that would be a problem. But I guess recently there was a couple instances with horses not being very well taken care of in inner city areas. And I believe that the main story, the really scary one, was in Philadelphia. So it sounds like that's why they're introducing this bill. Well, hey, speaking of the not taking care of horses really well and horses living in strange places, we have that audio for the Sheriff Joe, the MASH unit. So I get a text from one of the officers yesterday. Watch the news, watch the news. She had contacted the Fox News Center here in Phoenix and trying to get people to come and adopt the horses before Christmas. And there's some audio of them actually coming out to the jail and looking at the horses. Now, of course, the lady that is doing the story is a horse person, but of course the people back at the studio are definitely not horse people. And you can kind of tell that Sheriff Joe is also not quite a astute horseman. Not that he's not a horse person or whatever, and he certainly loves animals, but he doesn't really he doesn't visit the jail very often in the horse division, and why would he? He's a busy man. So he gets a little it was interesting. So here, anyway, here's the audio. Fantastic news. Hopefully, I'm trying not to be mean to the guy because he's an awesome, awesome person for doing what he's doing. But anyway, you'll hear it.
Sure.
Let's play the whole thing.
MASH unit. It's a unit where animals brought in from crime scenes are taken care of. It's really, it's a great thing. And then a new family comes in and hopefully takes care of the animals, right?
And in some cases, inmates, you know, do that. And that's good for the inmates.
And good for the dogs.
And good for the dogs and the animals. Right now, the unit is in desperate need of new families for some horses. Oh. Diane Ryan is, Diane, now you're a horse owner, are you not?
No, I'm a horse leaser.
Leaser.
I lease them. But believe me, they have some beautiful horses here that you could get for probably a song, but you've got to take really good care of them because they are here at the Sheriff's MASH unit here because they were neglected and abused. But you can see by these horses that they've been taking really good care of them here. And now a lot of these horses are up for adoption. And this is the brainchild, of course, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the animal lover, and you really started this to help horses because you heard that so many of them were being abandoned and abused and neglected.
That's correct, and we can't put them in the jail. We put the dogs and cats in the jail, but they don't fit, so we put the horses at the tents. The inmates take care of them. It's sad, the beautiful animals, and they're being abused. They're not fed, no medical attention, so we do everything we can to adopt them out.
And the inmates are doing a lot of the work here, and, of course, they don't get paid for it, but they're doing a really good job, and I guess for them it's kind of a treat to be out here.
Also, it's a two-way street. They get to love the animals get to love them, so it's good therapy also.
It is, and so we're looking at these horses, and I know you do a lot of fundraisers to help pay for this because this is not an inexpensive thing to do.
It costs about $2,000 a month. To feed the horses. So we did a fundraiser recently at a comedy club and raised about $30,000. That helps our office.
Yeah, because no taxpayers help this out. This is all done by people who love horses as well. And we're walking through here, and we just see some beautiful horses. And you're actually just asking for a donation to take the horse, and for the most part, you're just looking for people who love horses and will take good care of them.
Yes, we have 90 ready to go. Nine, but we have 26 horses here. And we're just asking the public to adopt these beautiful animals.
Yeah, and a lot of them, as we were saying, were neglected, and we're kind of walking along here, but you can see that they've been taken really good care of, and a lot of them really didn't have much trust at all when they came in, but as you can see, they've really changed, and I think that says a lot about what you guys do out here to get these horses who really don't trust anybody anymore, but now they do.
Yeah, that's correct. As I say, it's a two-way street. We're also helping the inmates and the horses.
Now, this is one of my favorites over here. This is a little filly over here. And
it's
about a year and a half old. So this is the kind of, if you were looking for a horse and you want to train them, a lot of these horses are young, and they're still impressionable, and you still have a chance to bond with them. So, and this would be a good time. How can you get one of these horses?
Very simple. Call our office. Must be the airplane. Call the office, and we'll make arrangements. And once again, the economy is bad, as you know. Mm-hmm. Some people just get rid of the horses, but they're beautiful animals, and we'll make the proper arrangements. It's not that expensive.
And it's not a new.
So how old is Uncle Joe, or Sheriff Joe? He sounds to be about 112. I mean,
Uncle Joe.
Uncle
well,
Joe.
He's got to be, I mean, he's got to be close to 70, you know. And I when he said they have 90 horses, I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's, first of all, that can't be true. Second of all, no, it would be a lot of work on a Facebook page for 90 horses up there like I've been doing. So there's actually... 26 horses are there. Actually, there's 24 horses because thanks to our MASH Facebook page, we've adopted out two of them off of the Facebook page just since it started. So how awesome is that?
Sure.
But it's great. So there's 24 horses, but not all of them are adoptable. There's only, I believe, seven or eight that are adoptable right now because the other ones' court cases are still going on. I was hoping we could post a link to that on the Facebook page so people could see because this is the jail. This is where I've gone to get, this is where I got Jet from, and this is where I got Joey from. It's from this place, and you see the inmate walking around with the black and white stripes. Do you see that?
Yeah, I did see it. It's like, there we go. You're right. They are really big black and white stripes.
Like the Hamburglar. I mean, yes. that's how they look. And so they're walking around, and it was funny because when he said that sound must have been the airplane, what that was that's the horse we have listed as Pity Pat, and she is the most afraid of humans that there is. Of all of the horses, she is the most scared of every one of them. And he was like, oh, it must have been the airplane that, because she spooked in her stall and like wheeled and ran to the back. And I was like, no, it's the freaking camera guy shoves his camera into her stall. And she's like, ah, like meltdown, freaked out, like, get out of my way. She's already scared of people. But it's a great thing. It's a great organization. I'm so glad to be able to help out. So if you haven't gone to the Facebook page and you want to see all these horses, it's MASH Horses. Just it's facebook.com/adopthorses, and you'll find it there.
Very good. Very good. Well, good work there, Jamie, helping get the word out about them. That's terrific.
Oh, well, I like I was telling them, it's like I've gotten two of the most amazing horses from there, and I just want everybody else to know that you can, it doesn't take that much work. I mean, with Jed, it took a lot of work, but with Joey, it was no work at all. Just get on him and ride him.
Well, right after we talk about some gift certificates for some of our favorite sponsors, I'm going to be bringing you the horse racing's best, funniest, strangest, and most insulting names. So we're going to talk about horse racing names here in a minute. I thought something very light before we head into the holidays here. And then we got thehorse.com coming up, of course, as always on Wednesday. Well, I wanted to mention Easy Signs Online and Equestrian Collections. It's almost getting to the point where as you're ordering stuff from Equestrian Collections, you're going to have to get it shipped a little faster because, you know, Monday's the last day you're going to get anything. And Easy Signs Online is definitely too late at this point to get anything, but don't forget about gift certificates. Jamie and I declared early on in the holiday season that it is appropriate to give your horse person in your life a gift certificate. That is appropriate because then they can buy what they want and they know exactly what they want, so you're not going to get them the wrong thing. So I know that a lot of the things you'll read says, oh, you shouldn't buy gift cards or gift certificates for the ones you love. I think we determined, didn't we, Jamie, that horse people are the exception to that rule.
Yes, they are, especially if it's for a horse item, which is one of the things that Easy Signs Online does really well.
And, you know, if you want that custom sign or, you know, Easy Signs Online, you've heard us talking about them in the last several weeks, is the place to go, and that way they can order exactly what they want. And then Equestrian Collections for the whole universe of equestrian shopping at your fingertips. Go to equestriancollections.com. Gift certificates for both. You can get them sent to you immediately and print them out, and then you can give them to your loved ones. Well, Jamie, we have coming up here, I think we'll take a break for the song, but right after that, I am going to bring you some really interesting horse names. Some of them that probably should not, that the jockey club should probably not have put through. But we'll be back with that right after. Have yourself a merry little Christmas from Templeton Thompson.
Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the golden day.
And that's Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Coach Jen and, of course, Jamie Jennings out there in Phoenix, Arizona. We are,
I made it back.
You made it back? You're back?
I made it back. I had to go eat some Christmas cookies. And then I had to have some milk. Sorry,
well,
carry on.
You should be fine as far as baby weight is concerned with your current appetite.
I told you, listen, the greatest thing ever was to do this during the holidays because you sure get, like, green light.
That's true. You can eat whatever you want. Well, we have some fun horsey names that I found that I thought we'd do for my crappy list this Wednesday. I found the one article on BleacherReport.com. A guy writes about racing. And he came up with some horse names through time that I thought were a lot of fun. And then I came up with my own list that I researched that are a little bawdier. But his name, so top on the list, was, oh, no, it's my mother-in-law. Yes, that was all one word. Oh, no, it's my mother-in-law. And I can imagine the announcer saying that on the backstretch. You know, that would be a fun one. I like that one. I have no word on how, oh, no, it's my mother-in-law did or how long she stayed. No word on that either.
I like that. That's funny.
Comply or Die was one. On April 5th, 2008, the field did comply, and Comply or Die won the Grand National Steeplechase at the Aintree Racecourse in England. What?
I thought you were going to say he died.
Oh, no. The next one is a little body, Horlicks, Horlicks. Yes, Horlicks. Actually won the McKinnion Stakes and the Japan Cup in 1989. Now, do you want to know who won the Japan Cup in 1990 after Horlicks won it in 1989?
Please tell me.
Better Loosen Up. Better Loosen Up won it in 1990 after Horlicks in 19. Yes, that's pretty good. Go Tebow Go. I don't know if Go Tebow Go is still running. This was back in 2008 that Go Tebow Go was big. And I don't think he had a very good career. So we'll have to look that one up. I don't know.
He's not getting any playing time, much like the Tim Tebow right
that's
now.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, isn't he playing for the Jets? Aren't the Jets just the stinkiest team ever this year?
Yeah, they're terrible, and he's not getting any playing time. He's second-string quarterback, and the first-string quarterback is so bad. I only know this because the game was on the other night, and the two brothers, Chad and his brother, were watching it. And I guess even though the quarterback is so bad, they're still not letting Tim Tebow play.
Talk about a wholesome family. Is his brother the one that was the FBI agent?
Yes. So the brother is an FBI agent. The brother's wife is a doctor. Chad is a fighter pilot, and I ride horses. Like, something is off.
All these noble things they do, and look at you.
Educated individuals, and then there's like, what do you do? I have a radio show about horses. It's on the internet.
You entertain people every day. 30,000 people you entertain every day. I mean, look at it that way.
Oh, great. Thanks, guys.
This is an unfortunate name that I can't believe that anybody ever got through the Jockey Club, because they have to prove all the names that are submitted. How about Date More Minors? Yes, Date More Minors, M-I-N-O-R-S, Date More Minors. That's not the kind that are in the ground. In 2001, we came dangerously close to having a horse in the Derby encouraging committing a crime. Yes. This was a Derby contender in 2001, but he lost the Tampa Bay Derby and did not get in, thank God. So can you imagine? Eight more minors coming down the backstretch. yeah, not good. Flat feet. I kind of remember that one. I think there probably is a good YouTube video with that one in, don't you think?
There's got to be one. If you can't even say it once, imagine an announcer having to go, flat sleep feet, running down the stretch, flat sleep feet. Yeah, no, and that's impossible.
And then there was an Australian racehorse that raced in 2007 called the Mile High Club. The Mile High Club. But apparently he wasn't too good. So.
Now, just so you know, when you're done, I did, because I knew you were going to talk about this, I did compile a list of some of my favorites. So I'll back you up on these really bad names.
Okay, good. Gay Crusader was won the English Triple Crown in 1917. Now, I have to clarify that gay meant something a little different in England in 1917. So
he's a happy crusader.
Yes, the happy crusader, that's right. Little Hitler. How did they get that one through? But apparently the Jockey Club approved the name Little Hitler in the 1980s. Now, what happened, though, was when he entered his first race, the stewards contacted the Jockey Club, and after some prodding, the horse was scratched from the race and had to be renamed. So it was the stewards at the racetrack that told the Jockey Club that we're not letting this horse run, and you have to rename him. I don't know what his new name ended up being, but Little Hitler was out.
That costs a lot of money, too. That costs a lot of money to rename a horse through the Jockey Club.
Dewey Cheatham and Howell. Does that sound familiar to anybody? If you ever listen to the Car Guys on NPR on Saturday mornings, click and clack the car guys. Dewey Cheatham and Howell was their fictitious law firm there at Harvard Square. Well, Dewey Cheatham and Howell was also a horse, a trotter that won 22 of his 25 lifetime races before retiring. So was a very good trotter. And then one we've talked about before called Hoofhearted. Hoofhearted. H-E-A-R-T-E-D. Hoofhearted. And you can't say that without it coming out hoofhearted. You just can't. It's just not possible.
Hoofhearted. Not hoofhearted. Hoofhearted.
Still sounds that way. And then some I found real quick. We'll go through the list. Now, these are actual horses' names that were approved and did race, but probably some of them shouldn't have gotten through. Bodacious Tatas. There's a good one. She Fogged My Glasses. How about girls on top?
Yep.
Girls on top. Yep. Spank it on your knees. Kinky lingerie. X-rated fantasy. Strip teaser. Here's one that you can hear, you know, coming down the backstretch with Calvin's calling it rhythm method. But
you are like, your mind is in the gutter today. Can I just point out, because all of these are really dirty.
Well, the rhythm method definitely, you know, that was, it was a Catholic owner, by the way. Panty raid. Yep, there you go. Only Catholics got that joke. Spineless jellyfish, chicken lips, don't choke the cat, and full of Skittles. So there were my picks right there. Yep, some good names.
Well, you know, I can't go on without naming the horse, and I'm Facebook friends with this horse, and I believe Jen is too. The horse named Yummy with Butter. I don't know why. I love that name. Yummy with Butter. Now, I did find a couple more, and one was, did you see this one? No Fat Chicks. No Fat Chicks.
I did see that one. I kind of avoided putting it in.
Yes, okay. Yeah, Yummy with Butter. And then the shortest racehorse name of all time is an Argentinian racehorse named I.
Just I.
The letter I. There's another one, and this is one of my favorite things, a braless. Braless. Blonde in a Motel by Bates Motel.
What?
Another one, Blonde in a Motel. Anita Cocktail. Anita, like the name Anita Cocktail. No Soup for You is another good one. If you've ever watched Seinfeld, you know that one. And then the final one, Redundant. I love that one.
I think that one's pretty good. yeah, we're going to have to ask, Jennifer, why don't you post on Facebook and ask our listeners, what's the funniest named horse that they've ever owned, or something to that effect? Put something like that on Facebook, and we'll see if we get an answer. I asked a question this morning. I didn't get any answers either. And I posted a picture of a thong underwear on there that says, I love dressage. And I asked, what's the craziest or weirdest horse-related gifts anyone ever gave you? And I got no answers. I was surprised at that. But I post a picture this morning of four little minis dressed up as kings, and it's shared right now 412 times.
People don't think you're funny, Glenn, but they love cute horse pictures.
Well, you know, and apparently they don't want to think that hard. You know, you can always share a picture in about 2 seconds. To actually think about what was your weirdest horse-related gift, to take some thought. So.
Yeah, it's too early to think. We're too close to the holidays. And I think that I Love Dressage song is disgusting and looks very uncomfortable.
That's why I posted it. I tried to find something that I thought was weird or crazy that you would actually get as a gift.
Although it would work really well, because girls do have to wear thongs when riding dressage because you don't want panty lines. So maybe that is a good gift. See, that's the problem. It's a good gift.
Hey, Charlotte Desjardins and Verlegro set a new World Grand Prix record. They did it at the big show over there going on right now in England, which is where we think our missing Victoria Spicer is from Horse and Country TV. We think she's at the show. Matter of fact, she had a post last night on her Facebook page that she was at the champagne bar a little too late and got home late. So we're here slaving over a mic, and she's at the champagne bar watching horse things at Olympia. But she beat her Olympic record score of 83.66, which was the previous world record, with an 84.08. Actually, she got an 84.447, which beat the Olympic record and the world record. So she took them both. And, of course, she beat out Edward Gall for the world record and totalist. So.
Now, I know I'm going to lose you after this, Glenn. But I saw it, and I could not let you know about it, because if you'd have found it, it would just been worse. You remember last year that there was a equestrian club who posed for some calendar photos with their horses, wearing almost nothing, pretty much naked. Let me think.
I don't remember anything about the Leeds University girls posing naked last year.
Okay, so clearly you remember. Gotcha.
I don't remember at all. No, I don't pay any attention to half-naked girls on horses.
Yes, I'm sure you don't. Well, good news is that we can refresh your memory because they made a calendar for 2013 as well. So there's a whole fresh set of girls, fresh set of pictures. I would like to point out that in many cases, like the girl laying topless in a thong underwear on top of a hay bale, that's got to be pretty uncomfortable. First of all, it's itchy, dusty, and a little prickly in certain spots, I would imagine.
I would imagine, too, and I'm looking at that picture, too, and it's just awful. It's just an awful picture. I don't understand how all these girls climbed up on the hay with just their underwear on. I really like the – you know what my favorite one is? My favorite picture that you posted here, thank you very much, Jamie, is the one at the cheeky shot at the bottom where she's walking with the hay net. Talk about itchy. I hate hay nets. I can't feel hay nets. My life depends on it. I get hay all over me. And here she is walking down the middle of the barn with her tall boots on and nothing but a pair of – what do they call that underwear that's only half of underwear? It's not a thong, but it's not regular underwear. It's kind of a half.
Sure.
That's what she
– whatever. Does.
Yeah.
Let me just point out that if this girl asked you to fill a hay nut, you would fill a hay nut, and you would do it
quickly.
Happily.
Quickly, yes, I would do it very, very quickly. And I love the article here. They did very well. They raised a lot of money for this charity that stabled the Riding for Disabled Association, and they raised a lot of money apparently, and they said, I love the quote, "We had more girls wanting to do this year than we could use. I think the result is even better, and the calendar looks fantastic." So apparently the word got out last year, and this made, like, international headlines. This was all over the place. It was on CNN and a whole bunch of other things. So there were girls lined up to do it this year. Apparently the girls in England are ready to get naked. The horse girls are ready.
Well, they not only are they ready, they've already done it. So you can actually find the – I don't know where to find it. We can post the link. What do you think? Should we post the link to it on our Facebook page?
Oh, sure. Why not? Let's give the horse guys something to look at this morning. I know I'll be posting it on Horse Husbands Unite on Facebook.
See, I was just helping you out and get some content for that page.
Posting a picture.
I would like to point out that I do a charitable Facebook page for an animal adoption organization, and you do it for men to objectify women. That's pretty much what your extra page on Facebook is. So good for you. That's nice. Horse Husbands Unite can carry on, and I've given you something to talk about.
I take my job very seriously. By the way, if you want to buy one of those calendars, you can buy it at luuhrc.com, luuhrc.com. I'll be placing my order today.
You pig. Will not. Oh, my.
I'm thinking about supporting charity. Why would I not support charity?
Well, that is true. That is true. You're a good guy.
Right.
You're a pig.
Take it very seriously. Hey, we have, let me check and see here if we have Michelle from thehorse.com on with us. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Okay. We were just talking about naked women on hay bales.
You know, I caught the end of that. I'm like, what show am I listening to this morning?
It's been a bad one.
Yeah, you called the wrong place.
Oh, yeah, that sounds itchy.
We had a lot of romantic talk here about Jamie having to pee on the side of a mountain. Yeah, we've been very romantic on the show here this morning.
Nice. So, yeah, no, when I'm dealing with hay, I'm in my winter clothes from my chin to my toes. So.
Right. And I would like to point out that there is nothing more, and this is the honest truth, I'm being serious here. There is nothing more comfortable, there's nothing warmer, there's nothing that makes me feel better than a nice polar fleece jacket. Polar fleece shirts, polar fleece jackets. And there is nothing worse than forgetting you're wearing polar fleece when you go to pick up the flake of hay and chuck it over to the horse, and you wear hay on your polar fleece for the rest of its existence. Like, you can't get it out ever.
Well, I know a very, very prim barn owner, and she would wear the Carhartt zip-up coveralls, you know, the big ones that look like you're an astronaut, and she's like, you don't want to know what's underneath it. Like,
oh,
no.
My God. Glenn does.
I do. Can you tell me?
I did not want to know, so.
Sorry.
But I can guess.
You guys never ask the important questions. We've had that discussion. Remember early on in the show, we had the discussion about going out to the barn in your pajamas? We have had that discussion before. And I think every horse girl has done that many times.
Oh, every day. And I always hope my neighbor doesn't see me.
And every day your neighbor's at the window.
It's not that good of a show, Glenn.
Now, are you out there, if I remember correctly, when we posted pictures, and we had a couple listeners post pictures of themselves in their pajamas in the barn, Jamie was wearing Superman pajamas. So do you have, like, Batman or Spider-Man?
So Jamie has? I don't.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, yeah. I have an affinity for superhero clothing. I don't know why. I just like to wear clothing that makes me feel like a superhero. So, yes, if there's a Superman or Batman emblem on something, I will buy it. And so that was the pajama pants I was wearing are my favorite Superman pajama pants. And he still hasn't let it go. And yes, I do feed in my Superman pajama pants all the time. However, I would like to admit that I did have to switch to my Angry Birds polar fleece pajama pants to feed in now because it's a little cold.
See, don't you end up with hay in your jammy pants, though, with the polar fleece?
It's a nightmare. You have to commit to it. They have to be only your outside feeding pants.
Got it.
And once you take them out there once, they're outdoor feeding pants forever.
Well, Michelle, Jennifer's trying to get your guest on the line here, so as soon as he gets on, we can start with the segment. But I wanted to ask you guys, I had somebody speak, I got to get back to the calendar because I haven't been able to switch the page since I've been looking at these pictures. So now, I had somebody post on our Facebook page at Horse Husbands Unite, it was a woman that posted that we should do a calendar of horse husbands. And I said, well, as long as nobody wants to see me half naked standing in a hay bale. So, that's the issue.
True.
We have to find the correct horse husbands. Like Chad could do it. Chad could do it.
You know what? Let's be real here. If we're going to have these are not horse wives that are posting on hay bales. These are young, attractive horse women. So let's find the converse for the male catalog calendar, which is young, hot dudes. Like,
cowboys.
I want some 20-something cowboys, exactly.
Now, you know where I need to go for that? You know, and I know you guys are wrong. All I need to do is drive to Wellington to a polo match, and I can fill up the calendar.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's see. If you want to find a bunch of Argentinian polo players that, let's see. I'm going to set the scene for us. They just had a long polo match in the hot sun. They're all sweaty. They've got to take their shirts off because they're drenched in sweat. They're leading their sweaty horses, and somebody snaps pictures of it. That's all I'm talking about. Why can't we do that?
And so Dr. Lentz doesn't hang up on us, I'm going to play this.
The Horse Health Report is coming to town. When you turn him out, you'd best keep him dry. In case you have doubt, I'm telling you why. The Horse Health Report is coming to town. You're getting the gist, don't roll the dice. Check water buckets, check them twice, because the Horse Health Report is coming to town.
Oh, welcome, Dr. Lentz. I don't know how much of that conversation you caught.
Sorry.
I caught the rear end of it, yes.
Stay.
So I have Dr. Tom Lentz with us, and he, when I was down at AAEP, I saw a table topic conversation that he helped lead on horse welfare, and managing unwanted horses. He was also the AVMA 2010 Animal Welfare Award winner. So obviously this is something that you're highly involved with, helping take care of our horses. What got you started? Well, first, let's start off. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself professionally and the work you do?
Well, I'm a veterinarian. I've been a veterinarian, horse veterinarian, about 40 years. I've been involved with a lot of associations in the horse industry, both veterinary and horse breed and disciplines, involving a lot of venues, but seems like the last 10 years or so, most of that's been on equine welfare, which has been a really serious topic in the horse industry, not just unwanted horses, but a lot of other issues too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and during your table talk, you guys covered a lot of different things that vets are dealing with when they're out there caring for horses or maybe working with law enforcement.
Right.
So, yeah, why is welfare important to you? Why is that taken up the last 10 years?
Well, I think it's important to any of us that are interact with animals, especially horses in my case. I mean, they provide us with a lot of pleasure and companionship, and in return for that, we certainly owe them a good life, and that we make sure we take care of all of their needs and that they're comfortable and happy. So I think that's our role. That's our job if we're involved with these animals.
So I'm a little bit of a softie, and so it's the end of the year, and I'm starting to think about where I want to make my end of the year charitable gifts. It's the holiday season, and I'm wondering if you have some different options or suggestions for different places that we can, as horse owners, donate some money to do some good for horses that need some help.
Well, I think fortunately, we've always been involved with the welfare of the horse, concerned about it. But like I said earlier, in the last, maybe 10 years, there's been an increased focus. And because of that, most of the breeds and disciplines and a lot of the volunteer organizations have kind of come to the forefront. So there's a lot of organizations out there that are working really hard to improve the health and welfare of horses. So, my favorite, of course, is the Unwanted Horse Coalition, because I was the founding chairman of that and chaired it for 5 years. Dr. Beck Corey chairs it now, but they've been involved in not just educating people on how to own responsibly, which is the key to good welfare, but also castration clinics that they're doing now, hay banks that they're involved in, and they have on their website, unwantedhorsecoalition.org, they list a lot of organizations that are involved in improving the health and welfare of horses. So a person could either go on that website, or they could just Google hay banks or horse rescues and so forth, and there'll be a lot of them that show up. Now, the kicker is to make sure that if we're going to donate money, that we do it to an organization that's actually working to improve the welfare of horses. And unfortunately, there are those folks out there that are what we call hoarders or collectors that love horses but usually don't have the knowledge or the finances to take care of them properly, and ultimately a lot of those horses end up in the worst place. So it's important that if we're going to donate to these various organizations, then we certainly check them out first.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of things should we be looking for to make sure that it's a legitimate organization or one where our money is going to do the most good?
Well, I think there's a lot of things, and it depends on what you're interested in, but I would make sure that they're a tax-exempt, federal tax-exempt Section 501c3 organization, which means they're tax-exempt. If they're not, then you have to question whether they're actually a charitable organization. The American Association of Equine Practitioners a few years ago put out a guidelines for care of horses at rescues and retirement facilities, and I'd certainly make sure that they're following those guidelines or something very similar. The state of California has their own guidelines, but they should have a printed guideline that they're following for how they run their facility. They should have a mission statement and a board of directors. I think it's important to ask them how the horses are housed and cared for, and do they get regular veterinary and farrier care? Are the horses put up for adoption? Mm-hmm. Are the horses retrained or refitted? If the horses are not adopted, Do they keep them there for the rest of their lives, or do they euthanize them? Because there's a lot of differences in various organizations. I'd ask them if they rescue stallions, do they castrate them or ensure that the horses aren't reproducing? I mean, there's a lot of things that I think are kind of common sense things, but it's important to find this out up front because, like I said, there are those facilities that are not following guidelines. They're just kind-hearted people. And there are also facilities that take in these horses and then ultimately turn around and sell them. So it's important to check the facilities out in great detail before you donate money.
So you mentioned earlier hay banks. Can you, for people who aren't familiar with a hay bank, can you describe a little bit about what that is?
Well, hay banks are organizations that collect money and then they establish hay banks, or people donate hay, and when a rescue facility or even a private horse owner gets in a bad situation where they can't afford to feed their horses, they can provide a certain amount of hay to get them through that crisis period. And a lot of the, again, if you go on the Unwanted Horse Coalition website, you'll see a lot of state horse councils have hay banks. You can kind of go in there and check out what facilities in your area are involved in this type of thing. And it's a good way to help, especially in cold winter and the weather in the wintertime. When we get a lot of snow, some of these folks run short on money or hay, and so it's a good place to put some money or to donate hay if you're a rancher or farmer and actually have excess hay that you, and even if it's hay that's maybe last year's hay, some of that hay is still very, very good and can benefit these horses.
Oh, and I know in my area, the sheriff's department relies on hay banks to help feed some of the horses that they bring in. Sometimes it's a large amount of horses that the sheriffs become responsible for, and it's usually during the winter, so that's really helpful. You also mentioned castration clinics, and that was something that I found really interesting in your discussion at AAEP.
Mm-hmm.
So can you describe a little bit about what a castration or a gelding clinic is?
Well, one of the things that we've talked about in improving the welfare of these horses and cutting back on unwanted horses is that there are horses out there, stallions, that are not good breeding quality, and most of them are not even registered, that people don't castrate them. Of course, they end up reproducing, and then we have another horse or two or three or 20 that are an issue. And so the idea came up, well, why don't we provide funding to help folks that can't afford to castrate their horses? And so there are a lot of organizations that are doing this. Minnesota Horse Council is doing it. Horse Plus Humane Society, the Kentucky Horse Council, I can name a bunch of them that are doing this. But the Unwanted Horse Coalition also does it. And it varies between organizations. But the Unwanted Horse Coalition will donate $50 per horse up to a limit of $1,000 per facility or per owner. And so that goes toward defraying the cost of the castration of the horse. Now, some of the other facilities, I think the Minnesota Horse Council provide $100 per horse. And so the goal is to decrease the number of breeding stallions. And I think over the last couple of years, the Unwanted Horse Coalition has castrated around 600 stallions. And so that's been a very popular program, and I think it's helped a lot of folks that can't afford to have their horse castrated, but yet they don't want to breed them.
So is there an age range for the horses that come into these clinics?
No, not really. Most of them tend to be older. I mean, you can castrate a horse as young as 4 months of age, which in my opinion is the best time to do it. But they vary anywhere from yearlings, two-year-olds on up to age stallions.
So is there anything else you'd want to share with everyone before the holidays when they're thinking about finding good places for their money to do good work, their time and their treasure?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of bad things have happened with the unwanted horse issue, but the good thing that's happened is that the breeds and the disciplines and the folks that are involved with horses, and even a lot of people that aren't but care about horses, have really stepped up over the last few years and really provide a lot of funding and so forth to improve the welfare of these horses. So now's a great time, the end of the year, to donate some money. And there are plenty of good organizations around the country that can use that money. I mean, we're far, far from solving the unwanted horse problem. The good thing is we've not only seen a decrease in the number of horses being bred over the last few years, but we've seen an increase in rescues and retirement facilities to care for these horses. So now's a good time to get involved and to donate some money and help them out.
Okay, well, thanks. And I have to say that sitting in on your table talk, it really struck me how passionate and compassionate all the professionals were in that room, and it makes me feel good as a horse owner to know that vets are in talking about this on a national and international level. I think there were people from Australia in your talk as well. And so glad to know that people are working towards this and taking care of these horses. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lentz. Appreciate you, and happy or Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you all. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for that, and thank you so much for everything thehorse.com has done to bring our Wednesday segments to us in 2012. We hope that you'll consider doing it again next year.
Well, thank you, and it's been a year I've been doing this with you guys. So
I know.
This year went fast. Really quick before we leave the horse topic there, I do want to direct people to our free horse listings on thehorse.com. It's a place where you can go if you need to place your horse or if you're looking for a horse maybe to take into your home, a companion horse often or a child's horse. Go ahead and take a look at that. Be judicious when you're contacting people and when people are contacting you. We have some guidelines on there to help you out, but that is a service that lots of people use.
Very good.
Yeah. You know what I need? You know what I need, Glenn? I need another website to go to look at potential horses that could live in my backyard. Good idea. No, seriously, though, you guys, this is a fantastic service provided by thehorse.com, and I've actually browsed there and spent plenty of time there. And the owners, it's a very honest website. If that's what you're looking for, you want to find something, go to thehorse.com. Check it out.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you, Michelle. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks when we're back here.
Okay, I will talk to you later. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. See you on the other side.
All right.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Bye.
That is nice of them. She's been doing this for a year, but I think we've had thehorse.com on since the very beginning. I think maybe since the very beginning of doing this show a couple of years ago.
First week we had them on, so it's been great, and we've definitely, I mean, we have learned a lot from them, and we do appreciate everything that thehorse.com does.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. We'll be back again on Friday. I didn't want to forget to mention that we have our last really bad ads of 2012 on Friday. Get your entries in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We have a pair of the hose nozzles from Hydra Tea, like we had last week. That's the medicinal hose nozzles that were made for equine therapy and sore joints and stuff like that, or just washing your horse. They're the top quality hose nozzles out there. And we are going to clean up Jennifer's office of all the crap that's come in over the last year, all the good horse crap. And we're going to be giving that some of that away, too. So we'll have more than one winner on Friday. So get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
Hey, remember what we did last year where we had the big box of crap given away to a listener who called in and sang the best Christmas carol?
Is that what we did last year? I don't remember that.
It is. That is what we did. So we should do that again.
Huh. We'll have to push it. We'll have to promote it. Do you think anybody will call in to sing?
Let's see, people. Do you want a big box of free stuff for singing a 15-second Christmas song? Yes, I would do it. I may just call in myself.
Oh, you know who's going to call in. Templeton will call in, and that'll be it. You know, nobody else wants to.
No, she doesn't need free stuff. She's fine. But a big box of free stuff, we will get listeners to call in and sing Christmas carols. I guarantee it.
Well, let's give that a try. Let's, you know what? We could really kick it up. I'll have to talk to Jennifer about this. But I think, Jennifer, do we have a copy of Buck's DVD set?
She doesn't want to say yes because she wants it. Yeah, thanks, dude. Now you have to buy me a Christmas present. Yes, we have a complete set of the 7 Clinics with Buck Brannaman DVDs, music by Templeton Thompson, educational segments by Buck Brannaman.
See, I thought that would be a good tie-in to it if we're having somebody call in to sing because Templeton's on that DVD set.
You know what? I'm mad because Jennifer was going to watch those and then she was going to send them to me.
Yeah. Thanks, Glenn.
All right. Well, thanks, maybe Glenn. We don't have to give anything away. We'll just not give anything away to the listeners.
Okay. We'll give away the DVD set to The Best Christmas Carol.
All right. Let's do that. Let's promote that. Jennifer, we'll start promoting that on Facebook today. That'll be calling in, let's say, the first half hour on Friday?
Can we just do voicemails and put them together like we did last time?
Oh, yeah, we could do voicemails.
That way they can call in anytime for folks who have to work.
Yeah, that's good. I forgot we'd done that, too. Let me give the voicemail line. It is 270-803-0025, and that takes some of the pressure off people, too. 270-803-0025. Call in and sing your holiday Christmas carol, and we'll pick a winner out of that. That's $170 value, isn't it? That's like a lot of money for those.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
That's gonna be
Thanks,
tough.
Glenn.
That's going to be tough to pick a winner. So there you go. We'll do that. We'll give that away to The Best Christmas Carol. I would encourage the use of animal noises and or children. You know, go for the cuteness factor. Whatever you need to do, get creative.
Sounds great. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again on Friday, and have a terrific day.
Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Adopt a horse as well. You might as well. Donate to good charity. Make sure it's reputable.
And if you like, just send something to your favorite radio host, I can give you an address. Very.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I thought so.